Father, thank you that you have spoken to us. Father, Lord Almighty, thank you that almost the message is preached. I give you all praise as you help us to determine today to begin to put into practice all the things we have heard in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have been watching or looking into your program, you would really be surprised who is speaking. We swapped the message because the person that's supposed to take the youthful loss today, he traveled. He will come. He came into the country this morning. So I now swapped with him. But the message we have for today, or the topic we have today, is the one I would have preached on either 21st of this month. So I now brought it forward. Praise the Lord. The topic says, marriage for holy people. Marriage for holy people. We have two topics actually together. One is marriage for holy people. The other one is holy people in marriage. If you look into your program, that's the way you see it. Marriage for holy people and then holy people in marriage. So if you look at two of them together, don't get confused. The next one we shall treat by ending of this month, by 28th of this month, is for, I'm not saying that married people today is not for you, but it's basically for the young people. Marriage for holy people. Today is talking more to young people that are about to enter into marriage. They have not entered. But the next one is holy people in marriage. You are already in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The topic was taken from Hebrews 13, verse 4. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Praise the Lord. Marriage bed shall be kept pure. And where we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 to 8, I chose that particular one for test because of the people I'm speaking to today. Let us go there again. 1 Thessalonians, if you were not here when we read it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you read verses 3 and 4, it says, It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother. Praise the Lord. So if we look at today's message, it's a marriage for holy people. Thank God for the message that came. Actually, when I was preparing the message, I said, God, is there anything we have not heard? As I was discussing with somebody yesterday, I told the person, I have heard every message that will lead me to heaven. I don't think, even if I hear any other one, I have heard enough that will keep me until I get to heaven. But now my prayer now is, God, grant me the grace to do it. Grant me the grace to live by these messages I have heard. Grant me the grace to live to pleasing you in all areas of my life. That's my problem now. So that the much I have heard, I'll be able to utilize it, make use of it, so that my life will be attractive to God always. Praise the Lord. And today we are talking more to unmarried people. Marriage for holy people. And basically it's for marriage. What is actually marriage? I just want to touch it a little bit and then we discuss holiness. I want us to know that marriage is God's own ordained institution. It's God that originated it. It's God that instituted it. So it's not as if it's man-made. Some people will tell you that since Adam disappointed God, that God left marriage to people. No way. Marriage is God's own institution. God started it. Nobody helped God to start it. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, Bible says that God looked at Adam and Adam was so lonely. And God says, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And God on his own made Eve and brought to Adam. And when Adam saw Eve, Adam was so happy that he says, this is the bone of my bone and this is the flesh of my flesh. Praise the Lord. So we can see that God, for him to have instituted marriage, he has an end, and he has a purpose and a plan for that. And what are three major things why God instituted marriage? If you listen, at times many of us, we go for marriage, we look at the fanfare and all the uniforms and everything. We don't even listen. If you're an Anglican and you have attended an Anglican wedding, you will see that there are three main things that the priest will read for you before any marriage, so that the two people will know what they're entering into. Number one, he said that marriage is for companionship. The loneliness was so much for Adam, and God made a helpmate for him. So marriage is basically for companionship, for the man to have somebody, or for the woman. Number two is that marriage is for ministry, to fulfill ministry, God's purpose here on earth. Number three is for procreation. But because of our culture, we have taken the third one to number one, giving birth to children. And the aim of God for this procreation is that these children should be brought up in the fear and knowledge of God. And not just to produce strange children and allow them to be moving up and down. That's what we are suffering in this our country now. Praise the Lord. So basically, these are the three reasons. And if you still listen, whenever you come for marriage, weddings, you will hear that marriage is a holy estate. It is a holy estate, which means that marriage is something holy. And then God is telling us today, marriage for holy people. If marriage is a holy estate, then God desires that holy people will come into it. Because it is only in holiness that God's attention will be attracted to you. This marriage is God that started it for Adam and ended it for Adam. So God is interested in your marriage so that you will come into it to fulfill the reason why he instituted marriage. And then he now says marriage for holy people. God wants us to keep holy. God wants us to live holy. It's only those that live holy lives that will enter into marriage and they will be able to fulfill the essence of marriage. And that's why God wants to speak to young people basically today. He wants to plead with them and urge them to keep their lives pure for him. Because it is in that particular condition that God will be attracted to you and God will not make a home for you. Because the life of holiness is only the life that can attract God, to make a move for your life. I want us to know, if I still want to define holiness, we have defined it in various ways since January. But I just want to take a definition by our last guest speaker. He says that marriage is hating what God hates and loving what God loves. That holiness is hating what God hates and loving what God loves. And if we want to match it with our topic today, God wants us to keep ourselves holy before marriage. God doesn't want us to start living anyhow, just entering into relationships anyhow. Especially on our young people, we just feel it doesn't matter. After all, my body belongs to me. I can do whatever I feel like doing. No. If holiness is actually hating what God hates and loving God, what God loves, and you come to church here every day, and you say you're a Christian, and you still dabble into all manner of, all kinds of sin, and many of us, we just live our lives anyhow, no? God is telling us today to keep our lives holy, to keep our bodies pure for him, to keep ourselves sanctified so that God, his Holy Spirit, will indwell us. God indwells us by his Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit must continue to dwell in us, God is telling us today, keep our lives pure before marriage. Keep your body for him, a holy temple before marriage. Don't just allow yourself to be messed up anyhow. No. If we look at Luke chapter 19, I will not be reading it because of time. Verse 30 to 34, where we read two Sundays ago in our Palm Sunday. He said that a particular coat was tied. Others were moving up and down, gallivanting anyhow. They were misbehaving, but this one was tied for a purpose. I know that that being tied was not easy for him. The coat was still there, waiting. Until the appointed day when Jesus came and mounted that particular coat and rode upon that particular coat. This is actually what God is telling us today. That we should keep our lives pure and sanctified before marriage. Don't just begin to dabble into one day you will enter into it. Because the way you live now will affect your marriage in future. And if you are living anyhow, you are not living pure, holy life, God will definitely not be interested in your marriage. You know, that coat was tied. Others were moving around doing whatsoever they wanted to do. But that one was there. I'm sure that many of other coats or husbands, they may think that, this one is foolish, that he's wearing back of the dress. But it was still there, waiting for the thereof manifestation. You know, until the day, who rode upon that particular coat? Jesus Christ himself. I want you to know that unless you keep yourself pure, unless you keep holy, unless you set your life apart for God, I want you to know that your marriage will really be in catastrophe. The attention of God will not be drawn to your marriage. Because God knows the end from beginning. If you keep your life pure, then at the fullness of time, the way Jesus made use of that coat, God will bring your husband for you. God will bring your wife for you. And when two of you come together, you will build a home where God himself will be happy with. A home where God will come and dwell. A home where God will come and solve. And a home where God will be so happy, you know, to move around. Praise the Lord. So God is really telling us today to keep our lives pure. That's basically the message before marriage. Don't go to see what is there. Many of us, the way we live in our life, I intend to keep yourself. The way you say money, you don't understand. That, you know, the pressure is so much, you may not understand. And what we are even saying is, it's not a matter of I'm already engaged. Even if you are engaged, God is telling us, keep yourself sanctified. Set your life apart. That you are engaged does not mean you have married. You have not married, my dear. You have not married. Even if you do the traditional marriage on Friday, and then on Sunday, then you wed. Between that Friday and Saturday, you have not married. Traditionally, you have married. God says you should still keep yourself holy until that day. And what you do now, you are still young and you have not married, you know, will show what will happen in your marriage. You know, I want us to know that some people have practiced it. So it's not a matter of is it possible. It is possible. It is possible and doable, which is our slogan here. If we look at the Bible, if you look at Genesis chapter 39 and then 40, you will see a young man in his teens, Joseph, how he was in a house. And this particular sin of, you know, fornication, what will I call that one? Is it fornication and adultery together? How a married woman, you know, focused eye on this young man. And this boy, because he determined in his heart, you know, he feared God. He said, how can I do this great sin? How can I commit it? After all, every time I read the life of that young man, he challenges me. Why? I say that if Joseph had agreed to commit that adultery, or is it fornication, with the wife of Potiphar, nobody could have known it in the whole wide world. Nobody. Because when a woman, when we want to steal something, we steal it that nobody will ever know it. They would have been living that way and obeyed this boy he feared God. I want us to know that for you to keep holy, for you to keep sanctified like that coat, for you to really live pure, even in this crooked and perverse generation, there must be a determination in your heart that this thing, I will not do it. Because Joseph, when this woman was calling upon him day in, day out, stressing his life. No. Joseph determined in his heart and said, God, how can I commit this great evil before you? How can I pollute my life? How can I move into sexuality when I have not entered into marriage with this woman? It came to a point when this woman just jumped on this young boy before 20 years. Thank God for the young man. He left the clothes for her and fled. Praise the Lord. Inasmuch as it cost him 13 good years in prison. But what gives me joy is that God said the eyes of the Lord was upon him all through. I want to tell you that if you want to keep holy, keep pure, set apart, sanctified, it may not be easy. It has never been easy. But one thing is that as you determine and propose in your heart to keep yourself holy for God, you know, to set your life apart for God, people will cajole you. Even members of your family will feel that you don't know what others do. Your mother and your father may begin to tell you the people that was born in the same year you were born. And a lot of things will be said. The one thing is that you make a purpose, you determine in your heart that this thing, I will not do it. Well, that's what helped that young man. I want us to know that many of us, our destiny has been destroyed. Our destiny has been taken, by the devil. Because the destiny of Joseph would have been removed and destroyed by that woman. Maybe by just a day of committing sexual sin with her. Joseph would have been finished. But because Joseph determined and said, I must keep pure, irrespective of the condition, even if I will suffer. He suffered for 13 good years. But what gives me joy is that after 13 good years, if you read Psalm 105 from 18 down, Bible says, at the fullness of time, God remembered him. And he was loosed from the fetters. And as he was coming out of the prison, Bible says he was made a second in command. The Potiphar and his wife, they now became subject unto him. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge us today. That living holy life is, worth it. No matter whatever you are passing through now, no matter whatever you may be passing through, because some people will take, especially our young people, even if you are engaged, I want you to know, you have not married. Many people, while counseling them, they will tell you this morning, that brother says that without sleeping with him, that he will not marry me again. I say, who are you calling a brother? How can that person be a brother to you? Do you people really know the meaning of this brother and sister we call? What it means is that you are calling that person a brother in such a way that that person can never hurt you or harm you. You know, when I was young, or even now, this my younger brother or girl, I call him brother, my biological brother, because I can do anything freely with him without him doing me any harm or anyhow, how can you say that somebody is a brother? And that person is telling you that without having sex, that he will not marry you. Is it not enough signal for you to know that this is a devil, a junior brother to a devil? A junior brother to a devil. Is it not enough for you to flee, to run away the way Joseph did? And you will just decide and determine and propose in your heart to chicken out. And then the enemy will just remove the destiny. And he will begin to mesmerize you everywhere. And before you know it, he will just be messing you up. Before you know it, he will push you into marriage and into a relationship you don't bargain for. And before you know it, your marriage will be a collapse. I want us to know, young people today, that the foundation is now. The foundation of that cold life was that he set apart. And when the time reached, Jesus mounted on him. On that cold. Why can't you set your life apart? Why can't you determine today and say, God, no matter whatever you might have done in the future, forget it. Acts of Apostles chapter 17 verse 30 says, in the time of ignorance, God overlooked it. None. I don't want to know what you have lived before, so that you will not allow the devil to deceive you. And he will tell you, you that have been fornicating, you that have been, don't worry. Those accusations, if you come to Jesus. Bible says that Jesus disarmed the powers and the authorities. Those accusations, those things that the enemy has been using to pull you down, he said that they have been dealt with. Go and read Colossians 2, 13 to 15, you will see it. Those things have been dealt with. Last week we celebrated Easter. And at Easter, Bible says it is finished. The sins of the world, the sins you committed in ignorance, those lives you lived, unholy life that you lived, petting around, messing around, living like harlots, even though you have not rented in accommodation in a hotel. It tells me that these days, children, you know, you don't even see sexual sin and all this foolishness as even a sin, because you just justify it anyhow. You know, you call it one name that will make it look simple, so that it will not be so heavy that people will see it as abomination. I want us to know that God is pleading with us. The prophecy said it all. Do it. You know, it's a determination. I want us to know it's a determination. You are the person that will do it. And by the time that God himself will manifest you, when you have kept yourself for him, by the time he will manifest your marriage, hey, people will come, it will be come and see. Praise the Lord. If only you will stand today and say, God, for this thing I'm hearing today again, I am determined. From today, I determine to begin to do them. It's the doing of it that matters. We have heard enough. But if only God will touch you in such a way, with the prophecy we have just heard now, to begin to say, no way, all this loose life, all this foolishness, I drop them today. It was good for Joseph. Look at how God later blessed him, because he refused to succumb to this unholy living and unholy relationship. Look at his generation. He gave birth to Manasseh and Ephraim, and even Jacob, his father, took them as his own son, and everything was given to them because a man dared to stand out. Praise the Lord. So I don't know the pressures you are passing through now. And you say, it doesn't matter. I don't know in a particular unholy relationship you are into. And you think that without that, I could remember something that was happening, one boy and girl, they were just moving together. And later, we call them and say, my dear, what is this thing that is happening between you? He says, Reverend, that this thing is not really easy. That we are in a relationship. You know, that this relationship has gone so far that we can't really break it. And I laughed and said, what is it you cannot break? What has gone so far? Even if he has promised to marry you, what has gone so far that you are living in sin? You can't say no to this thing. Eventually, the relationship that has gone so far, the young man wedded by December didn't marry the girl eventually. So what is it we're talking about? I don't know how the pressure is coming on you. I don't know where it is coming from. But God is telling us this morning, for the purpose of your marriage, because your marriage, you know, how you are living now will determine the kind of home you will have. How you are living now will determine the kind of husband or wife the Lord will give to you. Because if God instituted marriage, he's also interested in the man, in the woman that he will give to you, so that two of you will achieve the reason for marriage. Because there's no way you'll be living loose and living anyhow, and you'll think that God will be interested. No. We heard that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those that must come to him must know that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Likewise, without holiness, no man can please the Lord. Without holiness, there is no way you can attract God's favor onto your life. And that man whose God's favor is not upon, I pity you. What are you really living for? Without the favor of God upon your life. So, my dear, I don't know what you have been doing before. God is telling us today to turn around. That person you have been messing up with, especially our young people in the hostels, and if you say, they say it is not possible. My dear, it is possible. Because 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says that God has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Once you come to him with a clean heart, and you say, God, I accept you. This particular sacrifice on the cross, I accept you. He will give you the power, John 1:12. To them that believe, he gives them power to become children of God. You know? In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the word of God says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. My dear, everything you need to live pure and holy has been provided for you. It has been made available. It has appeared to all men, not to some men, not to some women. It has appeared to all men, doing what? Teaching them to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. When that grace appears, when that grace comes to you, it teaches you to say no. It teaches you to say no. I want to tell you that the power to say no is strong. It's not easy to say no. And that is what the enemy capitalizes on to destroy our youth. Many of you, you don't know how to say no. You'll just be there. And if you ask, you say, Mommy, you know, if I say no, he will be angry. If I say no, she will be angry. If the person is angry or not, what is that to you? When somebody wants to take your fortune, take, you know, the grace of God in your life, and you are thinking whether the person will be angry. If the person wants, let the person be angry forever. But what matters is that you have kept yourself apart. And when God will manifest you, the person who is angry will come and watch and see the goodness of the Lord upon your life. Praise the Lord. So let the devil be angry now, because anybody who wants to pollute you, anybody who wants to make you impure, anybody who wants to mess your life up, you know, and you don't want to, you know, to hurt the person, that person is a devil. It's not from the throne of grace. So it's better you hurt the person than keep your, you know, yourself for God. And I want to announce to us, my dear ones, that when you do so, God knows how to chart a course for you. Because in Proverbs chapter 4, if you read verse 20, he said that the path of a righteous man gets brighter and brighter with each day. If you live holy, your path, your life, as you enter into marriage, you will see the way God will be ordering your steps. And people will be wondering, what is it this person has done that we are not doing? No, you may say we graduated as doctors the same year. We graduated as nurses the same year. It's not the year of graduation. It's in the fact that this person kept himself sanctified and set apart for God. And at the fullness of time, God begins to manifest the person in such a way that you cannot comprehend. My dear, it is doable. Even here, there's a young man that just graduated last year. I don't want to call his name, but you know him. The way he lived his life in this campus, kept himself related with opposite sex, brothers and sisters, but in holiness. He set himself apart here, and we know him. And he walked the breadth and length of this place. At least I knew him for the past 8 years. And that boy, even his fellow students, so it's not a matter of, mommy, don't judge because of the person is always in the church, you know. That boy kept himself for God. That even his fellow students named him bishop. They named him bishop. It's not me. It's the fellow students and the people that know you very well. That people that you live, you know, inside. If you are in an office, it's the people in the office, they know you. If you are faking your Christianity, they know you. If you are real, they know you. So it's in the hostel and in the university, you know who is who. These students here, they named that boy bishop. He just graduated last year. He has started his house job. He has gotten married. And come and see God. I want to tell you that the next 5 years, where that young man will be, you will shudder. What is it? A life of holiness. A life set apart. He kept himself for God. He, you know, he walked for God with all his heart, with all purity. Anywhere you looked at him when he was here in the campus, he lived out the Christian life. Praise the Lord. I want to tell us, holy life pays. It pays. By the time you are graduating, you see God giving you a wife, giving you a husband, and people will be, what is it? They don't know the price you have paid. My dear, whatever you might have done before, forget the past. Press on. Now, today, decide. Say, God, though, I have been here messing up, but now, I determine to live holy. Praise the Lord. Because it's running, then I want to go into I have two reasons why God says we must live holy before marriage. Praise the Lord. 2 points for us to look at. You may wonder, why is it that God is interested in this, you know, being holy before marriage? Number one is that Bible says we are the holy temple of God. Your body does not belong to you. If we go to 1 Corinthians, be putting it down so that when you go back, you can go through. So that if what I said, you know, the Berean Christians, when Paul finished preaching, they will go back and study to be sure that what Paul is saying is true. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from 18 to 20, Bible says that our body does not belong to us. It says that we are purchased with a price. If I let somebody with the newest versions of the Bible read that 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. These newest versions that brings out everything. Anybody with it? 1 Corinthians. If you don't have, read anyone you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Please, fast, because my time is running. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18 to 20.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Praise the Lord. So why you must keep holy before marriage, no matter the pressure, whatever, is that your body does not belong to you. You are purchased with a price. All the suffering that Jesus went through last week as we celebrated Easter is for you and I. So you are bought with a price. Somebody paid the price. Somebody gave us his only begotten son. He went to the cross, died for us, and he purchased our salvation. So the fact that you have been bought with a price, your body does not belong to you. You know, many of us, we just treat our body or live our lives as if we owe it now. No, it doesn't belong to you. And Bible says every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but this one inside the body. Because your body, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit indwells you, so it doesn't belong to you. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I no longer live the life I live now. Immediately he gave his life to Christ. He turned around and said, the life I live now, I no longer live. Somebody directs and controls it. So you are not the owner of your body. So why should you treat your body? Don't you know that when you allow, you know, a young girl, a young man to touch you or commit sin with you, don't you know that you are committing it against God? That body does not belong to you. It's not your own. It's owned by God. You know, so we should keep holy before marriage because our body does not belong to us. Until you get married, then God now says your husband can now touch you or do whatsoever. Or that your wife can now touch you or do whatsoever. But before marriage, no. No, my dear ones, no. Your body is not your own. If you are a tenant in a particular yard, if that yard does not belong to you, you must obey the rules and regulations of that yard. When you were still, you know, in unbelief, devil kept giving you courses. You do it. If you are in the university, you do courses before graduation. He continued to give you courses, and that course, you will be here passing them. But immediately you come to Jesus, no, the course outline and the, you know, course content must change. You begin to, you know, obey the rules and regulations of the new landlord that owes you. You know? So you don't just continue living, it doesn't matter. These days, it's difficult to demarcate a believer from an unbeliever. Somebody will tell you, I'm born again. Before you want to pray, the person will speak in tongues and lambaste everywhere. The next day, you see the person committing sin, committing fornication anyhow. Especially, it's now more rampant with those, you know, with young people and with those that are engaged. You are engaged. You have already started living as if you are into marriage. You know, you have already started disgracing, you know, oh my God. Eh? At times I say that these children, you are really strong. You are strong. Eh? You pack it into the man's house, you just fornicate, you just do whatsoever, and say, hey, after all, we have done traditional marriage. Hey, what of if one of you die? Yeah, what will happen? You know? What of if you get pregnant and that man says no? There's a young man I cancelled last month, I don't know exactly the date. She was engaged to somebody she said is a brother. Only them that know, I don't define this brother and sister, that will go to bed and commit sin. And immediately she took him. Okay, if that man is engaged to that young girl, and that man actually loves the girl, what I would have done if I'm the man is, okay, now I love this girl and I want to marry her. The sin is already committed. I will rush and go and do everything so that I will marry her. What she did, this young man told her, you better take money and go and remove it. And she went and removed it. you know, I came back again. So when I was asking her, I said, I hope the engagement is broken. He said, no, mommy, we are still continuing. He still loves me and he still wants to marry me. I said, eh? What do you say now? Do you say he still loves you? Which kind of love? Which love? Which love? He means somebody impregnated you, refused to acknowledge that the child belongs to him. You don't know whether this child is the only child you will have in the whole world. And you went to the theater and removed it. And you came out with all the pains you passed through. If I were in your shoes, I would never talk to that your man again, whether brother or whosoever. I won't talk to you again until I get back to myself. And she went back again. They continued in fornication. Praise the Lord. So I don't know which one maybe you think you are engaged. Some boys these days, they can be hardened that they are ready to go to the extent of carrying wine and their uncle to your parents in order that you will become loose and think that I'm already married and the young man will be feasting on you. Praise the Lord. So know that your body does not belong to you. Number two, why we must keep holy even before marriage. It's for your own good. At times, most of us, many a times, I have seen it as I was growing. The way you live as a young person before marriage affects your marriage. You come into marriage, a lot of confusion, a lot of things happening. The children, you will give birth to confusion everywhere. Because that life, you have heard about Jesus, you know him, and we are telling you you are to live, you continue. By the time you come into that marriage, you give birth to children, you will begin to see the traces of the rough life and everything you did on them. Praise the Lord. You begin to see it. And that's why, you know, many of the time you pray here, you pray here. If you want to say, are you accusing people? No. It happened in David's house. You may say that David had already married before he committed adultery. But sin of adultery and communication has the same consequence. Look at David. From the time he committed adultery with Uriah's wife, from that day his family turned upside down. Many people, you see them after rough life. I say, by the time the woman, the man, they get, you see their children. This, you know, you'll be wondering, these people are good Christians. But see their children. Look back. So for the sake of this thing, why not keep yourself holy for God? And then the second thing, you know, that will affect you, it benefits you, is that you keep yourself holy so that trust in marriage will increase. Because when you live so rough and so, you know, so impure and so unholy, you know, by the time you get married, by God's grace, you get married. At times, watch that particular home. There's no trust. Lack of trust everywhere. If the man lies to another woman, the wife will believe that two of them are boyfriend and girlfriend. If the girl, you know, greets a man and smiles so much, the man will say, okay, the old boyfriend, that man greeting her. No way. And you see that in your home. You may not tell anybody, but in your home, you see that it's breaking the home. There is no peace. Every day you'll be explaining a point. Every day you see your husband goes out, you say that he went out with a former girlfriend. No trust. You can't trust each other because of all the things you did before marriage or even when you are engaged. There will be many homes are suffering from it. And that's why we are pleading with you today. When we speak on our own, we speak in 4 weeks time, we tell ourselves the truth based for today. We plead with you, my dear. The things we have seen, the things we have observed in so many homes, you know, even when you repent, it's still in our cause, it still happens. So why not determine now to keep pure so that God's favor will be upon you and then you enter into marriage holy and pure. Praise the Lord. What are the things we must do in order to keep holy? What are the things we must do? Because I want us to know as young people that we are still in the flesh. That you have given your life to Christ, if you have done so, does not mean that your emotions have been destroyed, no? The emotion is still there. The physiology is still there. The only thing is that the Spirit of God has come into you to grant you control over things. That you don't just behave like dogs in everywhere, no. So you are still alive. Everything in you is still alive. So as we go into the things we must do to keep holy before we enter into marriage, I pray that God will help us not to rationalize them, but to put them into practice, that God will help us. Praise the Lord. Number one thing I say here is that number one is that we must be born again. Number one. Because if you are not born again, how can holiness and unholy, then it's not for you. So number one thing is determined to be born again. Have you received Jesus Christ into your life? If you're a member of this church, you come to church every day, you stay and go. On Wednesday, you come, stay and go. And the holiness message has been coming out. And you have not given your life to Christ. Please, this is another opportunity. Don't leave this place until you surrender your life to Christ, my dear. People are dying every day. It's not even a must you will marry before you die. I'm not prophesying doom. But the issue is that people are dying every day. The way people just sleep and die, wake up and slump and die, why must you continue in sin? One song, When We Repented, says, one day, now one day, a sinner man go die, he goes to hellfire. He no go fit come back to repent again. One day, now one day, a sinner man go die, he goes to hellfire. He no go fit come back to repent again. What are you still waiting for, my dear? What are you still waiting for? Young men, they die. Old people, they die. Even now, young people, they die more. And if you look at it, it's because of the mad rush and the way we live. You know, everybody, we want it quick. Everything, fastness, you know. So, what is your life before God? Have you received Jesus? If you have not received Jesus, who are you? What are you waiting for? You come to church every day you go. You may be a member of any group, because in our church now, we have so many groups now. And these groups at times make people believe that they have a right. Especially maybe by the time you become a knight in Anglican church. Please, August Steve, I'm not talking about you. You become a knight in the Anglican church. Some people will say, oh, now let us thy servant depart in peace. Glory be to God. No. Unless you invite Jesus into your life. Unless he comes and circumcises you, remove the old life, and then impact the new life in you, you have not really. You can come here, warm seat, and go back. If you die, you go to hell. Please, this is time for you. You must be born again. Jesus says this in John 3 and 7. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. We can never be satisfied with you or overemphasize it. We must continue to keep it, because that's the basis for our Christianity. If the man came in the night, an old man, to speak about it, and Jesus spoke to him, you must be born again. Yeah, my dear. What are you still waiting for? This is time for salvation. Don't procrastinate it tomorrow. No, do you owe tomorrow? Even today, do you owe today? Do you know if you will die today? So why should you allow sin to continue to control you, and the devil will be deceiving you, blinding your eyes? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you read the 3 and 4, it says the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers not to see far. He will close your eyes, you will be short-sighted. You don't see far. He will take destruction there, and he will close your eyes and be passing you up and down, telling you it doesn't matter. It is well with your soul. Somebody should shout hallelujah somewhere. No way. And as you are coming, you will fall into the ditch. So, my dear, this is time for us. Whether you are married or unmarried, have you received Jesus? Do you still live your life anyhow? It doesn't matter Christianity. Anyhow it goes, no way. The cross is still there, my dear. Many people will just, before they hit Jesus at the cross, they will circumvent the cross and go to the back. And from back, they look here and look here. And that's why their life is not touched and changed. My dear, you must hit the cross face to face, so that the cross will crush you, and you come to the level what we are talking about. Have you been born again? This question, you must answer it before you leave here. Praise the Lord. Number two, how you must keep holy before marriage is that you should allow the word of God. Psalm 119 verses 9 and 11. Bible says, how can a young woman keep his or her way pure? He says, by hiding the word of God in her heart, that we might not sin against God. When the word of God is deeply rooted in you, Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of God be richly dwell in you. If the word of God is there, it keeps sin away from you. Last month or later February, there was a topic treated here, let in the word of God and let out sin. The more the word of God is inside you, then everything will be out holy life will be maintained. In fact, any level of the word of God you have in you is the level of Christ you have in you. Because it's the word that keeps you holy. It's the word that keeps you sanctified. It's the word that keeps you, you know, sets you apart. Whatsoever you can think, you can never, you know, succeed as a Christian without the word of God. Praise the Lord. Another thing is that you should keep yourself away from tempting environments. You know, if you must keep yourself holy before marriage, or keep yourself holy, you know, in this crude and perverse generation, keep yourself, especially the young ones, from tempting environments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 say, avoid every appearance of evil. Everything, any environment you know that makes it impossible for you to stand for God, keep away from them. Don't tell me I am a Jinjin brother or sister, you'll be there. And the devil, if you see the devil, in especially sin of fornication, staring you at the heart, keep away from it. You know, go away. Like Joseph, yeah, we saw Joseph fled. He ran. If not that Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife, Joseph would have committed fornication, my dear. Don't speak in tongues in such a way you begin to see rah, 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 rah. Don't leave the place, flee, run for 40. Don't give, you know, any tempting environment, move. Many of you tell me, I'm born again, the Holy Spirit is moving inside me. You in the night you go to visit a brother or a sister in a room where you are staying alone. What are you expecting? How can you take yam and put in a room and take a goat and send inside and say, goat, don't touch this yam? Is it possible? My dear, it is not. That's why I say your physiology is still intact. Your emotions still intact. It has not been exchanged, you know. No. My Bible says mortify your member, but your emotion, while you're a human being, you're still there. You still have feelings towards the opposite sex. So don't stay in a tempting environment that will make it impossible for you to overcome. Flee. If you want to visit somebody, visit the person during the day. Stay with opposite sex. Maybe if it's possible, maybe if you are reading partner or whosoever, stay in a place where you know that people will be moving up and down, you know, or up and down. You have not yet, you are still here on earth. You are not immune to the challenges or in this world. They are still there. So don't put yourself in environments where the enemy can easily get you. In the night, you go for visitation. Many of you may say, this woman is Mbweke. I am. Let this Mbweke lead me to heaven. Many of you now, young people, I don't know. You see them everywhere. You hold hands. You hold each other. You know, you see a young girl, small children, you know that their emotion is still in flame. You see the young ones, you know, under 20 or 25, the boy will just hold the girl and they will say, enjoying sin and fleeing around. You may say, some of them will say, but mommy, does this matter? It matters, my dear. Because Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, a little leaven leavened the whole lump. My dear, nobody goes about, maybe young people I know in the campus, nobody goes about to say, I must fornicate today. Today, hey God, I must fornicate. No way. I don't think. It's through all these holding hands, petting, necking, moving too close, you give the devil a foothold. Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold, because if you give him allow, he will take allowance. If you give him a foothold, he will gather everything in around you. So, my dear, nobody goes up and says that I will fornicate with this brother or this sister or this boy. No. But if by the time you come, the enemy will strike you. He will close all your senses. In fact, he will sap everything in you. From touching, from kissing. Before you know it, you won't even know when you have finished the fornication. By the time you wake up, you begin to cry. You begin to cry and weep, especially for those that are already engaged. You know, stay clear now. Keep boundaries. That's why at times we complain, deeper life. Yes, it's setting boundaries. Because at times it's good to set boundaries so that people will know their limits. You know, deeper their life, people, you people will never stay together until marriage. Why they want it is that so that, you know, you keep holy before you enter. So so that when you enter, the prayer we make will be less. You know? I could remember when I got engaged. If you are engaged, it's even more. You will be more careful. When I got engaged, you know, the day I said yes to my husband, he said, excuse me, we are still in the flesh, my dear. We have not gone to heaven. He says, any day we have time to come to discuss, and usually we do it in an open place. Any day we have time to come and discuss, do you know, when I start looking at you, my eyes is going somewhere, and you look at my eyes, and it's just turning around, that I should give him a slap that will bring senses back to him. Praise the Lord. Don't laugh. I'm not saying it so that you will laugh. He says that I should give him a laugh that will bring senses back to him. But many of you, you will stay together, especially those that are engaged, or even those that are not engaged. You heard her. You smile. You know, the man will roll his eyes. The girl will do, yeah, like this. Who is deceiving who? Why not flee, run away immediately, or you give him a slap so that his life will come back to him? You don't play with fire, my dear. Proverbs say that you can never enter into fire without fire, you know, burning you. You can never enter into a river without your body being soaked. It's better you are violent, but get yourself back from anything that will defile you. My dear, whatever it will take you to keep holy, do it. Praise the Lord. So keep yourself away from tempting situations. Don't take it. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Another one is, be careful what you watch. Many of you, this is here the devil has gotten you and finished you up. The movies you watch, many of you will enter internet. In fact, the day I saw it, I said, oh my God, oh my God. As a married woman, the first day I saw Bluefin, I say, oh my God, oh my God. How can a young man that wants to make heaven ever watch this thing and remain pure? How can it, my dear? How can you just leave the internet to browse something that, you know, things that will help you in your academic work? You will move to Bluefin, where you see raw sin walking up and down, and you will glue your eyes there and watch it. Then, what are you expecting? How can you live pure and holy? How can, it is imperfect, my dear. It is not. You can never live pure. It is not possible. It is not. What kind of movies do you watch? At times, if my eyes fly around and I look at the TV, I will see all this there, African magic. That African magic is from pit of hell. I'm sorry. You may say I'm preaching wrong. But that thing is, many of the things that earlier when they were doing it was a bit better. But man, the kind of thing they do, nude things. You see our children, our girls, naked, you know, walking out. So what is so special about it? What are you watching? The time you will take to read Bible, and many of you will glue your eyes on African film for 4 good hours. I wonder, what are you looking for? You are what you watch. You are what you see. You know? Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Pollution cometh by also what you hear and what you see. It comes. Because as you are watching all those things, those movies, those nude films in the internet, many of you on your phone, even as this message is going on now, if we look around now, some of you are even watching it in your phone. I won't be surprised. What are you watching? What you are watching, does it draw you closer to God? Or does it remove you far from? Whatever you are doing in this life that does not bring you closer to God, then flee from that thing. If you give in to something for 10 minutes, that thing has not enhanced your spiritual level, then leave it. It's not of God. Praise the Lord. Watch what you see. Watch it. Then another one is, keep busy in the things of God. 1 Corinthians 15 to 58. Keep busy. If you occupy yourself with things of God, you see that the devil, in fact, by the time you come to your bed, you sleep off. You won't have even time to think about anything. Keep busy. Don't give the devil a foothold. The final thing is, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you are really born again, you have given your life to Christ, you must be sensitive to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because if you are sensitive, at times you may want to go and visit, you know, a brother or somebody. You don't know how the devil has prepared that brother or that sister to mess you up that day. If you are sensitive, Bible says in Isaiah 30, you know, 21, it says, you shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, or walk in it. You know, if you are sensitive, you will just hear a word. You wouldn't know, the explanation may not be there, but somehow, you know, you just say, I won't go. You don't know what that person has prepared for you to do, you know, if you come for that visitation. But if you are sensitive, in your relationship with people, in whatsoever, the Holy Spirit will help you. This one, you know, this one, stay clear. For example, I went to somewhere yesterday. As I was, you know, I went to somebody's house to really buy something. And because they were living close to that family was my, you know, they were our family friend in my father's house. So I now decided to go and see the mommy of that house because she came back. So when I came there, I thought she was still around. And then I decided also to ask the son whose wife died 2 years ago. Now I see somebody in his house. I want to know, why not go and marry so that this marriage will be blessed by God. So I just entered there. I didn't know that he was the only person in the house. But as I was entering, I called the gate man and said, is anybody in the house? He said, yes. So I now entered. So as I was knocking, I asked the man, is he the only person in this house? He said, yes. Immediately something just say, go back. Immediately I left. Later I called him and said, I came to your house. And he shouted and said, hey, whatever. But why I want to use this to say this is that immediately I heard, go back. And I left. Because when I heard it, you know, one man said, if he's the only person in the house, it's not as if I was going there to fornicate. He knows me now. It's not as if I'm going there to fornicate with him or to commit in adultery. But the point is that I said, this is a big duplex. He's the only person in that house. Nobody is in that house. And this is a new woman he's about to bring in. He's not, she's not around. I say, if I enter here now, and maybe two of us will be in that house. You know, this young man that brought me in now, and every other person, do they know what we are saying? In fact, immediately that is, I say, I'm going back. At least if the wife and the children were there, I would have realized. Immediately that sensitivity came, I left. So, I'm married even. I did that. What of you? Your body and everything is still, you know, inflamed for emotion, you know, of attraction. Holy Spirit, if you are born again, what helps you to keep you away from danger, especially sin of immorality, is Holy Spirit. There are things you want to do once you have that nudge in you. Turn around. No matter how gingy you think you are. No matter how, turn around. Praise the Lord. I want us to know in conclusion that our God is faithful. He knows how to reward those who diligently serve Him, you know, and keep themselves pure and holy. I don't know what you are still doing. I don't know the kind of life you are living. Have you received Jesus into your life? If you have not received Him, as we begin to sing this song, please, don't leave this place the same. Don't leave this place the same. Many of you, you just drink sin of fornication and immorality like water. There's no way you'll be born again and you'll continue in such. Even if you say it overcame you today, some of you, on a daily basis, you are drinking it like water, my dear. There is no way God will be interested in your marriage. There is no way you will attract God's attention to your marriage if you continue in sin. Some of us that God helped, it has worked for us. That's why with boldness, we are talking to you. Some of us here that God helped, we are, you know, we know how it is. Not that challenges will not be there. Challenges will always be there. Because I don't believe in me, I know go suffer. Even when you have done the will of God, the challenges are there. But the issue is that when you have kept your life and God gives you the right man and you come in, when the challenges of life come, you go back to Him who knows the way through the wilderness. And He will sort you out of your home. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Ijekuru Jesus ni hikensacha asawo inobara watoro yede ochahanewo kanzu If you know you have not given your life to Christ, please come to the altar.